Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. It is alive and powerful. God, your word is truth. And we long for truth. We are seeking truth. God, we are truth seekers. We need to know truth. Hallelujah. Father, every eye in this place would be open to see exactly what you need us to see this morning. God, every mindset, the understanding would be clear of everything and anything, God, that would get in the way of this, that you would clear our mind to understand very clearly what you have for us this morning. And God, I pray that our ears are ready to hear it. God, I pray for our hearts, God, that we come at this time right here this morning to hear your word. God, that you would feed us. We come hungry, God. We come hungry. We are one church here to hear from you. God, we come hungry today to hear from your word, that you would directly speak to us this morning. And if you would, just ask God, God, speak to me this morning. God, direct your word. Personally direct it right at me this morning. God, I am hungry. And I'm asking that you would speak to me. Folks, if you would cry that out this morning, ask God, speak to me this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome time of worship. Praise the Lord for our worship team and all the work they put in and traveling this past week to Pit of Brad. That was wonderful. We are so blessed, folks. Cannot ignore all that God is doing and all the blessings. Being in three services and all. I mean, it's just incredible. Thank you for taking the time to invite people to church. I know we have an ad on the air, on the radio, and I hear a lot of great comments about that. And again, thank you for trusting this ministry with inviting people, friends and family, to come to church. It's huge. It's huge. It's huge to say I trust my church and my pastor enough that I'm going to invite somebody to come in. And we don't take that lightly. And we appreciate it, and we thank you for your diligence in inviting people to church. We've been talking about He is Able for 2 months. Been talking about since the very beginning of January, first service in 2013, we started talking about faith and what it is to watch our faith begin to increase and to watch our faith begin to rise up. Just as the apostles did, they cried out to Christ, Lord, increase our faith. Folks, we've got to be people who belong to Him who say, Jesus, Lord, Father, increase our faith. We want our faith to come to a point to rise up and be strong and going in one direction, going up and increasing and growing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's why it's so right to come into the Word and come into your time, your personal time with Him, hungry to hear from God. Listen, Monday to Monday, get into the Word of God, hungry, God, feed me this morning. God, speak to me today. God, put a word in my heart that I need from you today. And you watch what God will do. And your faith will increase as you study and as you get into this word, which is alive and powerful. And you ask God. You go into it hungry. You go into it. God, speak to me. Same thing week after week here in this place. We're asking God that our faith would increase by the study of His word. We love His word. What a privilege it is that God has called us to minister from this. It's just incredible. It is truth. So we have been for 2 months talking about faith and going through different examples and different heroes of faith and breaking it apart and to see their faith as the example. But this morning, Jesus asked this question. Why did you doubt? Folks, when we come to that point that we are asking God to increase our faith and we're seeing our faith rise up, that faith's going to be tested, folks. There's going to be a season, whether you're in a season, going into a season, coming out of a season, there will be a time that your faith is going to be tested. And Jesus looked directly at somebody and asked this question, why did you doubt? We're going to see this morning. Come on, two places today. Matthew 14 and Hebrews 12. Matthew 14, please turn to Matthew 14, put a marker, and then flip over to Hebrews 12. We'll start in Hebrews 12. Come on, Matthew 14, put a marker, and then we'll start in Hebrews 12. Awesome. Awesome. I hope you all have had a blessed week. And man, I am so glad that you were here today. I'm asking that you really prepare to hear this. Because as you talk about faith for so long, because it's such a, it is vital, folks. Vital to who we are in our Christian walk is our faith. Come on, Hebrews 12, if you're there with me, please read, or just listen up, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now look at this. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. I want you to see how the writer of Hebrews equates our faith, our walk in this Christian walk, as an athletic event. Listen, you see the writings of Paul where he over and over and over equates our faith, our walk with Christ, as an athletic event. I want you to see this. Second part of verse 1 says this. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance. Okay, that word run. In the Greek, it's A-G-O-N, agon. You know where we get our interpretation of that? Is agony. Okay, he's equating this athletic event called faith with a race that at times is agonizing. Folks, if you are a runner or you're an athlete or some type of athletic event, if you are training and you are training and you're working hard and you have disciplined yourself, there are times that you push yourself and you push yourself and you push yourself, and there is agony that comes with that. There is pain that comes with the preparation. And there are times that you push and you run and you push and you run and you push and you run and you prepare and you prepare. And in that, that is not a piece of cake. This is what he is saying. Listen, this athletic event that we're in called Christianity, our faith in Christ, equated as an athletic event, we have to run. We have to prepare. This is something that at times is going to be agonizing. This is what he is saying. See, I want you to see this. Paul says the same thing in several different places in Scripture. I want you to see this. 2 Timothy 2:3. Paul says that we are soldiers of Christ. You hear over and over here at Believer's Chapel that we need to be warrior ready. We need to be war ready. We are soldiers of Christ. We are warriors. Listen, when Jesus Christ, our King, think about this, our King who laid himself on a cross, he left heaven, came to earth, laid himself on a cross as the example of what, how awesome and powerful our King Jesus is. When we come to him in faith, how could we not want to serve a King that has sacrificed and given his life for you and I, that we would in turn say, you are a great King, and I am here to serve you, and I am here to honor you. And he calls us soldiers and warriors. Listen, this is what it says. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. That no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of this world. Yeah. Please hear this. So that he may please the one who has enlisted him to be a soldier. Gang, it is our purpose to please our King. It is our purpose to walk in such a way that we would honor and be pleasing to our King. And in that, no soldier who is in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. Now look at this. This is huge. Ephesians 6:11. Listen, this thing called faith, this walk of faith, listen, Paul says in Ephesians 6, 11, 12, and 13 that we are to put on armor, that we're to recognize, he calls it a wrestling match. We don't wrestle or struggle with flesh and blood, but we wrestle with rulers, we wrestle with power, with powers, we wrestle with the things of this world, we wrestle with spiritual authority. That's Satan and his demons. This is our wrestling match. This is the struggle that we go through. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 9:26. He says it in a running, boxing way. Listen, I don't run without aim. I don't box as I'm boxing in the air. He says, listen, I have a purpose to my course. He says, I am running to see the goal line at the end of the race. Man, I'm not just running with no aim in mind. I'm not boxing just hitting the air. There's a purpose to my course. There's a purpose to my running. There's a purpose to my boxing. 2 Timothy 4:7, Pastor Dan touched on this last week. This is what Paul says. I have fought the good fight. Look at this life of faith, he says. You know what's amazing is being a Christian is not this wimpy dimp little thing where we go to church, we gather together in church, we sing these songs, and we just, bah! No, we're warriors. And Paul says, I have fought this good fight of faith. He says, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Gang, it is absolutely quite the opposite of a little wimpy dimp deal. This is something that you and I put on armor and we wrestle and we fight and we run and we box and we fight this good fight of faith. Look at what this says. 1 Corinthians 9:24. There's a purpose to our running, and we are going to run this thing of faith as if we're going to win the race. That is determination. That is focused running. And he equates it to faith. He says this, Galatians 5:7. Run well. There are many who were running well, but then something took place and they fell away. Look at this. Back to Hebrews 12. We got to understand. And when we're talking about faith, we're talking about being warriors and soldiers and going through battles and going through a determined, agonizing time as we run and we see that finish line so close. And we just continue to persevere. Look what it says. Let us run with endurance this race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance. Listen, if this race was a piece of cake, if this thing was a 100-yard sprint, anybody could run a 100-yard sprint, and you will make it eventually. You'll cross that finish line. He says, with endurance. This thing is not a sprint, this thing called faith. This thing is a marathon. And we need to prepare for this marathon of life called faith. And he says this, with endurance. This word endurance, it means to persevere. It means to continue on, that I will keep on going. I will persevere. I will endure. I will continue. I will keep moving. I will not quit. That's what he's saying here. Folks, how many people do you know and that I know that have started nibbling on faith? Heard the word, began to digest the word, maybe even said that they've made a decision. Maybe they've been coming to church for a while. Maybe you're one who has been trying to disciple them and encourage them and spend time with them and to love on them and to care for them and to try to build them with the truth. And we just think everything is going great. It's amazing. Look at how well they're doing. Then a year later, they're nowhere to be found. Have nothing to do with faith, nothing to do with Christianity. Nothing new in church. Once their family was growing in the things of faith, and all of a sudden their family's falling apart. And you're like, what is going on? What happened? Where's that perseverance? Where's that continuance? Where's that continuity? Why are you quitting? Why are you stopping? Where was that mountain that got you so shaken that you laid down faith? Folks, over and over and over we see this battle for truth and we see this battle for faith, and it's over and over and over. And you could probably name by name this one and that one, and they were on a course and now they are nowhere to be found. And now they're actually denying faith. Now they're saying it's just over and over and over, folks. This thing called faith, man, it's a battle. And it's something that we are called as warriors and soldiers to continue and to persevere and to be determined to the end. Folks, that's huge. To be determined all the way to the finish line. To be determined all the way to the end. That I will never give up. I'm not going to step back. I am continue to press and persevere and endure. Now look at this. Look at this. To run with endurance the race that is set before us. He gives us two things that get us off course. He says this. Let us lay aside every encumbrance. Number one, let's lay aside. That word lay aside, it means to throw down, to throw away. Every encumbrance. You know what encumbrance is? A weight. Yeah. Or something that is baggy, something that is holding you down. He equates it to an athletic event of sprinting or running. That's right. Guys, I've never seen in the Olympics where you have this Olympic event and these are the runners and these are the marathons or these are the sprinters and they come with a trench coat and ankle weights. Right? I mean, that just, you would look at that saying, dude, you realize, I mean, maybe in training you put on the ankle weights. Maybe in training you wear something bulky to sweat so that when you were in the race, when you were going towards that finish line, you have every ounce possible off you, and you have laid it aside. You've laid down the ankle weights. You've laid down the bulky clothes. So now that I'm in this race, I am prepared. I have shredded every ounce that I can shred so I can run well. What are some of the weights, the encumbrances in our lives that weigh us down from running well, from running this race of faith that you can peg right here and right now? You can peg, man, that has slowed me down. And I was running so well and I was running so strong and this has slowed me down. Man, I was running great 6 months ago. I was just on top of running my... This has slowed me down. And it might be from a religious system, a list of do's and don'ts, the heaviness of trying to work your way into heaven, a heaviness of trying to be good enough, a heaviness of... That is so heavy, and that is such weight that weights people down. One day they think they're in, one day they think they're out. I mean, it's crazy. And he's looking at this. He says, let us throw down, let us throw away every weight, and then let us run the race. So point number one to this is we are to run weightless, folks. We are in this amazing life of faith. An incredible journey with Christ. It is quite amazing. But you have to look at your life and say, what is the weight that has slowed me down that I have to throw away so that I can run, so that I may run well? Number two is this. So we are to lay aside every encumbrance or every weight, and we're to lay aside the sin which so easily entangles us. Okay, I want you to see what this word entangles mean. Okay, when you understand what it is to be entangled or ensnared, okay, think of like a fish caught in a net, right? The more the fish struggles in that net, the more it gets caught up in that net. Gets all twisted and trying to get out, and there's no way he's getting released. It means like a fly on a spider web. The more that fly tries to get out of that spider web, the more it just gets entangled. And that spider just sits and waits. And when he's hungry, he goes attack, because that fly is so ensnared and entangled in that spider web. Remember those fly strips that are, you get caught in those? You ever walk into one of them things before, right? You go, it's caught in your hair. It's, you know, it goes on my face and on my head, and it's just fly juice. It's just nasty, right? Folks, that is the picture, exact picture of what it is to be entangled or ensnared. And we're talking about, why did you doubt? Okay, Hebrews 11, you got to remember, when they wrote these letters, they were in letter form, not broken down in chapter and verse. They were in letter form. So chapter 11, we have chapter 11, which in letter form, it goes right into the next sentence. Faith, if you get the New American Standard, faith, if you highlight just the word faith in Hebrews 11, 25 times the word faith. We go through the heroes of faith. We've been talking about faith for 2 months. Much of it has been taken from Hebrews 11. Much of it has been taken from male and female from Hebrews 11. People who God says, listen, these are the examples. These are the clouds of witnesses. These are the examples of faith. 25 times Hebrews 11 mentions faith. So what is that sin that so easily entangles us? What is the opposite of faith? Doubt. Well, Hebrews 11:6 said, it is impossible to please God without faith. Mm-hmm. When we begin to see how God views our faith, and we begin to understand, listen, how easy is it? Please understand what this is saying. You're walking in faith. Things are going right. Family's coming together. You're strong in Christ. You're reading. You're on target. Things are going well. And then all of a sudden, circumstance happens. Something takes place. Unbelief sets in. Doubt sets in. What does that do to your faith? Immediately. Stops. Immediately paralyzes your faith. And then you get so caught up, and then you get entangled and ensnared where you can't run the race. Listen, our race, this is what he's saying. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Jesus is the absolute ultimate example of who is that which we should imitate and be our example is Christ, who is the author and finisher or perfecter of what? Faith. The opposite of faith is doubt. And we come to this and say, listen, I do not want to walk into a place of being entangled or ensnared or caught into a spider web or some type of netting that is going to slow me down from running this race of faith. I tell you what, the thing that will kill that race is doubt. The Bible says we are to fix our eyes on Christ, or your version may say looking to, or that he is the example set for you and I as the author and perfecter of what we are attaining to in faith. Amazing. But it also says, look at this, verse 2, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Look at verse 1. Let us run the race with endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Listen, as he is the example, we see how he persevered. We see how he continued. We saw how he never gave up. We saw how he kept going and kept going and kept, and it took him agony and it took him to endure. It took him to persevere. It took him to overcome. Same as you and I. That's why it says, fix your eyes. Make Jesus your example, that he overcame and he persevered and he endured, and he is the author and the perfecter of faith. So we are called to endure and persevere and overcome and press on and keep going. Why? Because we're fixing our eyes on him and not on our doubt and not on the unbelief and not on our circumstance, but it's on Christ. We've got to get that. We've got to understand that. So number two of this message is this. Number one, that you would run weightless. Number two, that you would run free. When it says lay aside, it is this physical throwing down of the weights that we know are in our lives that we cannot run well. And when doubt creeps in, we've got to come against our doubt and throw it aside. Cannot run well a race of faith when we're filled with doubt. Can't do it. Matthew 14, please. Third point to this is Jesus asking a question. You have heard this Bible story over and over. I'm sure you have seen pictures of this Bible story over and over. Great Sunday school, great children's Bible story. They just love it. Jesus asks Peter one question. Well, two questions. Where's your faith? And why did you doubt? Look at this. I want you to see this. This is huge. I want you to see this story this morning. Verse 26 says this, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Immediately Jesus, listen, the disciples, they're in the boat, they see this figure walking on the sea. That's pretty cool. They begin to get freaked out. Then immediately Jesus says, listen, take courage or be strong. It is I. Do not be afraid. Peter says to Jesus, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. You would think right there, okay, Peter, who knows that this is Christ, has understood the power of Christ, have seen miracle after miracle after miracle of Christ. When Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? Peter piped up with all authority. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know who you are. You are the Christ. You're the Messiah. You are the Son of God. I mean, he understood Christ. So something took place before this that Peter says to Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come walk on water. That's pretty powerful faith. I know about you. I've seen you. I've walked with you. I know your miracles. I know you're walking on water. Ha, I can do that. If it's you, this is huge. Bid me to come so I can walk on water. I mean, who thinks like that? I can jump out of the boat and sprint. This is great. Who thinks like that? Peter does. And then this. And then Jesus said one word, come. Peter, walking in obedience, steps out of the boat, walked on water, and came towards Jesus. Listen, folks, we got to say, how many times do we cry out because we understand how great God is and how powerful God is? And our faith begins to rise up and we feel, listen, God, if you're calling me to this, I can do this. God, if you're calling me to this, I know that you're going to be in this and I know that you are all powerful. Look at Peter saying, Christ, you are the Son of God. And if you call me out of the boat, I know that I can walk on water. So Jesus says one word, come. Peter says, great, steps out of the boat, begins to walk on water. The Bible says he came towards Jesus. Listen, when you are walking towards somebody, you got eye contact, and he's walking right. He got the word from the Lord. He got the word from Christ. Come. Peter steps out of the boat, begins to walk towards Jesus. Now you think at this point, man, you are in a league of your own. Peter, no one has ever done that except the one you're walking to, who is God. You are in a league of your own. I mean, you could imagine Peter being all puffed up, thinking, ha, dudes, check me out. I'm walking on water. This is incredible. Right? You guys are still in the boat. I'm out here. What an incredible view. You would think. Maybe Peter's feeling pretty good. Listen, if I walked on water, I'd feel pretty good. Let's just get real about it, right? I mean, come on. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Verse 30 is the killer. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He took his eyes off Christ, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. He took his eyes off Jesus. But his eye, when you see wind, when you're in water, guess what? You see waves. Wind and water create waves. So here he's got waves slamming him in his face. Takes his eyes off of Jesus. The Bible says he became fearful and began to sink. The amazing thing to me here, this story, is, folks, he is an arm's length away from Christ. Look at what the next verse says. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him. Listen, when you recognize this, we don't know the distance. We don't know how long he's been walking on the sea. We don't know how far he was. We know this. Peter stepped out. He began to walk on water. He's going towards Jesus. Listen, this is the deal. He takes his eyes off Christ. Gang, he's this far away. He's an arm stretch away. And he begins to recognize the wind and the waves. He takes his eyes off Christ. He's an arm stretch away from the creator of the sea that he's walking on. And Jesus says this. You know what I don't see what Jesus says? Peter, you're amazing. Look at your great faith. Look at Peter, you are in a league of your own. Peter, you're the only one besides me who has ever had the faith to walk on the water. I don't see Jesus looking to others in the boat saying, you cowards. At least he had the faith to walk on water. He is so far above you in the level of faith. I don't see Jesus patting him on the back. I don't see Jesus accommodating his faith. I don't see Jesus bragging about Peter. Gang, Peter's in the midst of a serious, powerful, awesome, one-of-a-kind miracle victory in a league of his own. You would think Jesus would notice that. You know what Jesus notices? You have little faith. What? I just walked on water. No one else has ever done that but you. They didn't get out of the boat. You don't see any of that. He looks at Peter, who's an arm stretch away, eye contact, as Peter's sinking. You have a little faith. Why did you doubt? Gang, this is huge. The man just walked on water. And Jesus doesn't notice that one bit. You know what he notices? Peter's doubt. Sometimes we can get so caught up in our faith, what we say we're doing right. And when the winds of life show up, they begin to hit us in the face. We take our eyes off of Jesus. After the word says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Set your mind on things above, that is Christ, and not on things of this world. When we begin to take our eyes off Christ, We begin to put our eyes on the winds and the storm, even after an incredible, miraculous victory of our faith. You know what Jesus notices? Our doubt. That's humongous. That's huge. You think doubt matters to the Lord? You think he takes notice of our doubt? Could you imagine this picture where the winds and the waves are coming and Peter's walking on water? And that's incredible. And people give Peter so much credit for that. And I've heard so many times in messages, well, at least you know, Peter had more faith because the other guys didn't get out of the boat. That is opposite of what Jesus said. He looks at him and says, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? You know what's attached to little faith, folks? Doubt. And look at this. You know what's so amazing about this? There are times and seasons of our lives and in this amazing thing called faith that you and I have to endure and we have to persevere and we have to overcome and we've got to come to that point and looking at the wind and the waves and we are asking, God, remove this from me. Or we're asking God, God, help me to go around this storm. Or God, help me to go over this storm. You know what's amazing about this? Look at the last verse, 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. I can imagine Peter going, great timing. You could have done that just when I'm walking on the sea. That would have been nice. You know what the point is? Look at this. Jesus at any moment could have spoke to the wind, could have spoke to the waves. And then Peter would have been walking on glass, man. It would have been amazing. But it wasn't until after they got in the boat. There are times that we are not going to go around. There are times that we are not going to go over. There are times called by God that we are to go through the wind, through the waves, through the circumstance, enduring this amazing life called faith, persevering, overcoming, not quitting, not slowing down, pushing through, walking through the agony, knowing that this is an athletic event and we are going to go for this with everything we got and we will not quit. Period. And this is where he wanted Peter. Peter, you walked on water, but you lack faith because of your doubt. That is huge, folks. Huge. So you and I, in our walk of faith, do we look at this thing at times agonizing as we are preparing it, as we are so dedicated to follow him at all costs? There's three reasons that I've come up with. Point number three is this. Why did you doubt? And there's three things. There's many more, but just this week, this is what was on my heart. Why do we doubt? Number one, because you don't view God as able. You don't view God as he is capable to overcome. You don't have the proper biblical view of how awesome and powerful and magnificent and all-knowing God is. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not weary, does not tire. His understanding is inscrutable. That means it is without measure. We cannot, in our little infinite minds, figure out how great and powerful all-knowing God is. But we understand that he is great and powerful and all-knowing. And there's no way that our ways are his ways. There's no way that we measure up. We just can't figure, because he's that great. And we know that he is good and that he is for our good. That is what we know. But we have this little view of God and we may not see just absolutely how powerful and awesome and magnificent that God knows the beginning from the end. Before the foundations of the world, he knows the beginning to the end. Huge. One reason why we doubt, folks, is we don't have the proper picture, the biblical view of God is able. Number two, is we get caught up in the worldview or public opinion versus God's view. There is God's view, and as a Christian and as a believer, please know this, there is not another view. There is God. You will begin to have unbelief and you will begin to doubt when you begin to listen to all the nonsense of the worldview, when you begin to listen and take ear to all the nonsense of public opinion. Yeah, I know what God's view is on this, but this is what everyone else says. I know what God's view is on this, but this is what I am listening to, and this is what I'm hearing. And gang, please understand this. You have to be so careful on what you allow into your mind. You have to be so careful on what you're listening to, because if it is anything that is opposite God's view, it will bring doubt. and it will bring unbelief. You've got to guard yourself against that. And the third is this, and I think this is where so many are. As you look at your waves, and you look at your wind, and you look at you in a circumstance, no matter how big it is, I don't believe God can bring good out of this. Sean, you don't know my circumstance. You don't know what I'm in. You don't know what's going on. How can God bring any good out of this circumstance? And we view God in that way. When we look at our circumstance, at times can just be overwhelming. And there are times based on your circumstance you want to quit and you want to give up and you think it's easier just to let it go. You think it's easier to lay down your faith. You think it's easier. I'm not going to press in. That is so. Yeah, you know what? God tells us that, and it's over, over, and over, and over. It's agony at times. But when you persevere, gang, how many times do we quit when we're an arm's length away from the creator of the universe? How many times have we pressed, and we pressed, and we pressed, and we pressed, and we get right there, and the victory's around the corner. We're an arm's length away, and we quit. That's exactly what Peter did. He was an arm's length away. Could you imagine if he never doubted? Could you imagine him telling his buddies on the boat, listen, give me the rope. I'm towing your boat. I'm running. I have no doubt. I've got no fear. Let the waves come. Let the wind come. I'm running. I'm running on water. Could you imagine what would happen if he never doubted? And within an arm's length away from the one who created the water that he's walking on, he was filled with fear. And he doubted. How many times do you and I, when we have pressed and we have been doing a good work, we've been following, and then at times it gets tough and it gets agonizing, and we have to at that point dig the heels and we have to press even harder and we have to continue to go, because at times we might just be that arm's length away. And victory might just be right around the corner. Folks, that's huge. If we could just bow our heads, please. Why did you doubt? Could you imagine those words on the ears of Peter? Folks, he had his eyes fixed on Christ as he's walking on water. And he began to look at the wind and the waves, became fearful, began to sink. Does that describe you this morning? That you have believed and you have pressed in, and you're at this point where you're so close to giving up. And you are so close to stop. And you're so close to saying, I just can't do it. I can't press anymore. I can't see the end of this thing. I don't know where this thing ends. I have been doing this for so long. I just. And you come to that point that you could be an arm's length away from God, bringing the victory in which you have pressed for. And then you give up. When he tells us this is a fight, folks, this is a wrestling match, this is a race that is agonizing, but there is victory. If you were pressed in and you hold on and you fix your eyes on Christ, there is victory. If you're in this place this morning and you are at that place, you say, listen, I just need somebody to pray for me. I'm at that place where I have pressed and I have pressed and I have pressed and I am weary and I am tired and I'm about to throw it in. Whether it is believing for a loved one, whether it is finances, whether it is just the absolute fight of faith, please, somebody encourage me. Please, I need to get over this. I don't want to throw in the towel. I'm an arm's length away from victory. I don't want you to come up front. I just want you to put your hand in the air. We'll just pray for you. Come on, put your hands in the air, please. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for this morning. Just amazing. Father, for those who are going through it, for those who are pressing in, for those who are getting weary and tired, for those who have believed for years for a loved one to come to you, God, for those who have stood so strong for you in their faith, but they see themselves, they see unbelief set in, they see doubt begin to set in. God, that they get this picture that you're an arm's length away, that they would press in, that they fix their eyes on Christ, they continue to go forward, that they can say, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the course. I have kept, continued in the faith. God, bless them this morning. Bless them this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Victory is Christ, folks. Victory belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. Stand to our feet, please. Hallelujah.